Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's show, Donegal Senior Ladies start their Division 1A campaign against Galway on Saturday. We'll hear from manager Maxi Curran. Danny Cullen looks ahead to Donegal's National Hurling League Division 2B clash with Sligo on Sunday. LYT men's football manager Shane Byrne discusses the college's journey to the league final and their return to the Premier Division of the CUFL. And last weekend, Donegal golfer Ryan Griffin took victory in Portugal on the RNA Students Tour. We hear what's next for Ryan. But we're going to start with Gaelic Games. The Donegal Senior Lady Footballers kick-start their 2022 Division 1A league campaign this weekend as Maxi Curran's side target victory in their only group home match. Galway will be the visitors to McCool Park and Ballybuffet on Saturday evening. With trips to come against Westmeath and Mayo, a win would be vital for Donegal if they want to stay and progress in the division. Donegal manager Maxi Curran says the ladies are very eager to get back playing competitive football.
Yeah, look, it's a long time since August since they played their last game, so yeah, they're excited to get the league started again. It's a truncated league again, the same as what they had last year. Just the three games, so they're not going to be that many league games, so they're excited to get them started now.
Looking at your squad, Maxi, has there been many changes to your panel from what you finished up with in the summer of last year?
Yeah, well, look, I suppose as is the norm, what we've discovered over the last 4 or 5 years, there's a lot of movement in lady squads, not just us, that seems to be countrywide. You know, there's girls, young girls come in every year, and there's other girls step away, the likes of Travis Doherty, you know, came back and gave us a great year last year, having given great service to Donegal for years. Travis is not with us. Obviously, Emer Gallagher got injured towards the end of last year. She's not with us. And look, a few girls like that are not currently there, and even Hegarty's not currently there, people like that. But look, the nucleus of the team is still the same. And, you know, there's a sprinkling of younger players and involved in the group, as well as some of the, maybe the older ones have come back, like Adam McCrory, who had a bad couple of years of injury, but is now back in the setup again. So, look, it's all changed, but that's the norm for ladies football, to be honest.
Yeah, once again, you're going with Niamh McLaughlin as your captain?
Yeah. Look, he was captain last year, and look at that went for. Look, he's a very, very solid girl, and, you know, leads the thing very well, and she's a great role model and example to all the younger girls that play.
Yeah. Obviously, there's history there with Donegal and Galway. A cracking game to start things off, Maxi. It's been billed as could be a cracker, but it's vital for you because you've three group games and you've only one at home, and it's this weekend. So it's an important fixture to start things off.
Yeah, look, it is important from that perspective. You know, the biggest thing in any league campaign is to stay in your division, and stay in Division 1 in this case is very important. You have two lengthy journeys away after that, away to Westmeath and away to Mayo, so there's a Galway game is very important. You know, it's always hard to know where you stand until the league starts, until you get your first game. You know, Galway have a huge chunk of players, and that Garen Clonburn, who won the All-Ireland Club 2 weeks ago, so not sure if they'll be back or not, but that's a significant chunk of their team, so you know they could come and great settle with all those on board, and they mightn't be there at all, so you just wouldn't know, and you know, that'll make a big difference in the opposition. And then, as you see yourself, you just never know. You're playing friendlies and challenge matches, and you know, it's just always very, very hard to say, and you know, weather can have a big impact in football at this time of year, and you know, the condition of pitches and all the rest. So look, you're really going to the unknown, but it's not, because it's good to get started, and as you say, it's an important one we really want to win.
Yeah, you mentioned their challenge games and friendlies. Obviously the men have the likes of the Dr. McKenna Cup to prepare for a league campaign. What was your preparations like to start things off with, Maxi?
Oh, we had a couple of challenge games. You know, we played the All-Ireland Champions meet 2 weeks ago, and we played Monaghan, we played Armagh, so we got a couple of games, but look, nothing, if everybody's in the same boat, you're just kind of finding your feet. As you say, the men start off in the McKenna Cup, and that really, you know, fine-tunes things before the start of the league, whereas, you know, in the ladies' game, we're kind of getting cold. You never know what other teams are bringing for their challenge matches, and luckily we played Meath, but they didn't have their they're two big names, Emma Dugan or Vicky Wall. So look, you just don't know where you're at, and you know. But look, hopefully by Saturday night we'll be a wee bit wiser.
In relation to the LYT, Maxie, they had a big one earlier in the week against Dangan, a comfortable one to say the least. 420 to 5 points, I think the game finished up. You've got a lot of players involved with the LYAT, so you have, and there's a few about your group.
Look, the girls are the big one. Yeah, they played NUAG down there. Even more joy than the boys had the week before. Look, there's an awful lot of the younger girls, Katie Long, Dunya McGinley, from Glenfin, Kira McGarvey from Terman, St. Michael's, Eve McCaughan's a goalkeeper, Shauna McFadden from St. Union's. You know, there's Saskia Boyle from Dunlow. They're all members of our squad and important players for us. I think important players for Donegal in the years ahead. And we can't forget that Nadine Friedler, our esteemed kit woman, GPS woman for the county for the last 5 years. She's also a star of the team in the forward line. So there's a massive, big connection and with the team. So look, it's great. Again, look, it's great for football in Donegal to have a college team that's punching above their weight. And you know, that's what they're doing. And I think it'll help us, the fact that you're getting games at a competitive level throughout the week.
Yeah. Are you confident, Maxie, that your side will stay in Division 1?
Look, you know, we would be. I mentioned Galway earlier, probably not going to be at full tilt in terms of their Kilcare and Clonburn players. And, you know, they have a couple of girls, the two Ward sisters and Livia Devley, are probably in the top 10 or 12 players in Ireland, let alone in Galway. So, you know, if they're not there, you're off to a good start. And you know, everybody knows Mayo have 4 or 5 players in Australia playing Aussie rules, and you know, Westmeath have had a couple of retirements. So if we don't manage to stay in Division 1, we'd be pretty hurt about it, and that'll be no one's fault but our own. So you mentioned earlier, it's a big one on Saturday to get off with the 3 points, and winning your first game is massive in a group of four teams. So it's a competition. You know, we know that probably the odds are pretty much in our favour at this point. So, you know, look, we would definitely have high hopes and intentions of making a semi-final anyway.
Yeah, and I'm sure obviously the number one target is come championship again during the summer. Max, things are all changed. They've changed the league format. They've changed the way the championship is being run. Are you in favour of the changes that they made last year ahead of 2022?
I am. I'm a real fan of the split season insofar as I think it's probably it's great for clubs. I think the county players going to get a tight with the whole split season thing, because they're going to end up playing a 11 and 12 month season around the clock, and that's going to be very tough for them. But I think for clubs it's great. Now, from the LTV perspective, I think they've kind of maybe missed the trick a wee bit in that, you know, there's 5 weeks to run the league semi-final and final. You know, which seems a bit mental. The last league match is on the 6th of March, and if you don't qualify out of your group, the championship doesn't start then until the 11th of June, so it just seems like a very long time. I know there's a knockout provincial championship in the middle of that, so but that might only be one game as well. So, you know, it just seems quite a long time for no football. So it's a wee bit, I think it's a bit concerning from that perspective. You know, the league is probably going to have very little relevance to the championship because it's so far out, and you know, God knows who'll be around by then. You know, you'll have players back, you'll have players left, one thing or another, and you know, anybody that's forming the league, it's very hard to maintain that through the June time. So, and you know, in the conditions in Balbuffet on a February Saturday night will not resemble anything come championship in the summertime. So from that perspective, you just wonder, is there a better way of doing it? Last year the whole thing was really condensed, and you know, the league wrapped up maybe, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks before the championship, and it was a real good barometer of where you were, and I think that was really useful for everybody, and you were able to, you know, build a bit of momentum and then kind of bring that into the championship. But look, it is what it is, and you know, we're everybody's delighted to football back at this time of year, and you know, they get a bit of a free run at it, and look, we're not complaining to be playing matches anyway.
Yeah, but it does seem a bit crazy that there's such a big gap when you see the likes of the men, Maxie, going from basically the end of the league nearly straight into the championship in a matter of a couple of weeks. And I know there is ongoing talks and they're trying to bring both associations together. When that time does come, Maxie, and the one body's maybe overseeing everything, will it become more streamlined? And is that the way you want it to see? Do you need to see all these bodies coming in as one?
I don't think it'll come without its teething problems. You know, to be fair to the LZFAs, have done a real good job of marketing their product over the last 4 or 5 years. When I came in first, there was only one match a year played in Croke Park. That was an All-Ireland final, and it was a, you know, and that was it. Now there's 4, 5, 6 games played in Croke Park, you know, down as far as the Leinster final. This year's a doubleheader with the name Leinster final, and National League finals are played, their All-Ireland semi-finals. So that's really helped to market the product and make it more appealing to players. And I know the LZFA are completely at the whim of the GAA in terms of when Croke Park is available, and I do know that is a big factor in their decision making when it comes to creating the calendar. So, you know, you have to be fair to the LZFA from that perspective. But Croke Park is not available to the Gaelics because it's busy. It's not because they just don't want to give it. So, you know, just because the two organisations are going to merge, it doesn't mean there's going to be less games in the GAA calendar. So it may not become any easier. It might be the one body looking after, but, you know, I don't know how they can, you know, how they're going to, you know, they can't just make up extra Sundays or one thing or another, you know, to fit it all in. So, look, it's not going to be without their challenges. I think it's going to be an interesting period ahead to see how it all plays out. And, you know, there's the obvious financial side of it, and it's great to see the, you know, a greater level of equality coming in terms of how county ladies players are being treated at national level. They're now getting GPA grants, similar to what the boys are getting, which they never got before. So the field is levelling all the time, and I think the quality of the ladies game has greatly improved over the last number of years, and it's only going to get better. And, you know, I think it's going to become a far bigger spectator sport as well in the years to come, and, you know, and that's when the administration of it will be a big issue. And and I just hope they can keep a pace with it at the top, you know, in terms of keeping that development going. But look, it's exciting, but as I don't think it's going to be a straight road ahead. I think it's going to have its bumps and one thing or another, and there's an awful lot of good people involved in the LGFA, you know, clubs and county boards and one thing or another, you know, that I hope don't get lost after two what happened to merge. You know, the GAA nowadays is a multi-million pound year industry, and there's an awful lot of, you know, full-time professional people running it, and that's what's required. And but the LZFA is still, you know, I speak about it often in terms of the actual football itself. It's a more pure and as an version of the game, and the boys is a lot less tactical. And as I keep saying many of the time, and I think the running of it as well is it's just completely volunteer based, whereas the GAA now has gone to a different level. So I think it'll be, look, it's, so watch this space, I suppose, is the best way of putting it. But it sounds great, and it's in theory, but, you know, the practical implications is going to be, and the application of it is going to be interesting to see, because there's an awful lot of good things in the LGBT that you wouldn't want to lose if it did end up, you know, coming under the one big umbrella.
Well, there'll be a lot of football to be played between now and then, Maxie, by the time that decision is made. But your more immediate focus is in Galway. All we can do is wish you the best of luck this weekend. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks very much, Oisin. Thank you.
So the Donegal ladies back in action in Division 1A at McCool Park in Balbafay. Throwing on Saturday night is at 7:30. The other counties in the northwest are also in action this weekend on Sunday. In Division 2B, the Tyrone ladies are taking on Armagh. And in Division 4A, Derry are making the trip to Antrim. Well, the Donegal hurlers will look to make it back-to-back wins in their opening two games in the National League Division 2B this weekend. After last week's victory over London, Mickey McCann takes his side to Marchevic Park to face Sligo on Sunday afternoon. Danny Cullen returned from his honeymoon to line out in his first game of the year in the victory last time out at the O'Donnell Park. Danny, who is looking into an 18th season in the county jersey, says they are very capable of winning on the road at Sligo. First of all, congratulations. You got married over the Christmas period. You had your honeymoon, and I'm sure you enjoyed your time away. So you're starting the year on a high before you even were hitting a hurley and a slitter, Danny.
Yeah, no, I was a busy time there before Christmas now. It was just kind of it worked out well the way with the league now towards the start of February. Like, so it meant that we could get a few weeks away and just then come back just in time. Like, so that kind of worked out well, and especially getting the result there at the weekend kind of made it easier for us, the whole thing, like, because, you know, you just want to get off the season off on a good foot, like, and we did that. So we're all good, like, so very happy now.
Yeah, and when during your time away, were you keeping an eye on the McGurk Cup and how the boys were performing? Because they came very, very close to winning that tournament, Danny.
Yeah, that's it. I got to watch the game now against Down just because this was looking off also Jay streamed it. Like, so, look, they put on a very, very good show that night, like, and just unfortunate in the end. Like, but I was a kind of a new enough team there, and a lot of young lads got good run out, and I heard good things from the other games as well, too, now. So, back in fairness, it's been a positive start for a lot of us now for 2022, anyways.
Yeah, good result last week against London, because when you're playing a team like London, it can be a bit of an unknown at times, particularly when you're taking on a side that I haven't played any inter-county sport in 2 years, Danny. So there probably was a bit of nerves at the back of the mind in relation to what London were going to be able to bring here, because we do know that they've had quality hurlers, but you just came through that test with flying colours last week and fully deserving of the victory, and they didn't really trouble you at any sort of time in the game, Danny.
No, we were very happy with the result, and in fairness, in the first half now, we really hurled very well against the breeze, like, and that kind of made it easy then for the second now. But look, we didn't know what London would bring, like, because it has been 2 years since they played, like, and we've never actually beat London, so that's a kind of a first for us as well. So, you know, they've always been a different level than us, like, but, you know, in fairness now, everything went well on the day, like, we hurled well and used the ball well, and as I said, that lead at half time against the breeze just kind of set things up then for the second half. So, look, we're delighted with that too. Like, I was just now looking forward to the next game. Like, so
yeah, it's important to win the home game as well. You only got two of them this year, three away and two at home. So you have to win your home games to be in with the shout of staying up, Danny. And that was the first box ticked.
Yeah, big time now. And, you know, we've got Derry at home as well, which is not an easy game. And, you know, when you're travelling away to Wicklow, Mayo, like, it's like every team in this league is very, very competitive. Like, and every game is going to be very tough. Like, so we know any kind of. We have to make the most of every opportunity we get. Like, and we kind of made that start now at the weekend, and now I suppose going away to Sligo is going to be a different test. Like, and you know, it's something we have to just be ready for.
Yeah, just before we mention Sligo, I know that you hadn't heard since the end of last season. How would you assess your own performance, given it was your first match back, Danny, and you played the full game as well?
Yeah, look, I was just happy to get that the legs carried me through it now, because you know, it's just you're kind of, it was only coming with a week's preparation, like, but just, you know, a few good sessions on the belt, like, and. Look, the main thing is, as long as we get the result, I'm kind of happy enough with that, like, and that's the key, like, and just, look, I was just happy to play any kind of part in it, like, and thankfully we did that, and, you know, that's the main thing, like.
Yeah. So then, Sligo on Sunday, away from home, Marchevic Park. Sligo have obviously, of course, been in this division before as well. What are you expecting? What sort of challenge are you expecting at the weekend, Danny?
Well, in fairness to Sligo now, they've worked their way up through the ranks now in the last few years, like, being from 3B, 3A up to 2B now, and they've been playing at Christy Ring the last 3 years, which is, you know, it's no mean feat, because they've stayed up there and they've been competitive, like, so they're a very young team and they're probably moving in the right direction, like, and, you know, we're kind of thinking the same about ourselves, like, so it's just going to be a very, very difficult game for us, like, and it's, you know, something probably we're looking forward to too, like, we haven't really played them competitively now in the last couple of years, so we'll kind of see where both teams are at now, but look, we're expecting a very big challenge, like, especially down in Sligo, so just hopefully we're ready for it.
Yep. On the road as well, I suppose a good start's important, Danny.
That's it, yeah, you know, and like, I suppose, like, London, in fairness, started off well enough there at the weekend, like, and we settled into the game, like, so we just kind of don't want to be giving Sligo any opportunity to get a foothold in, like, so it's probably up to us now to make sure we're the ones starting well now on Sunday.
Yeah, but it's a game that Donegal are very capable of winning, Danny.
Oh, definitely, especially with the team we have now this year, and, you know, this very strong panel, like, and having, like, the Davin Flynn back's a huge help to us now, so, but look, it's one to hurling too, like, and it's not always the kind of the best hurling team comes out on top in these games, like, it's kind of a bit of a dogfight in the end of it, like, and, you know, it's probably a bit of hunger has come down to it, like, so it's probably something we'll have to be bringing to it.
Yeah, and in relation to yourself again, Danny, you've been round the block hurling a long time, haven't I? What year now is this that you're pulling on the county colours?
I've kind of lost count myself now, but I think it's just back in 2004 we started, so it's kind of, yeah. I'll just try to get another few years out of it yet now, but I'm just delighted to be even a part of it and still in a position to play for it, so you know, you've got to appreciate that, and I suppose when the years are getting longer and the body's getting sore, you just got to take every game that comes and just hopefully you're all right for the next one.
Yeah, well, we're going to call you now one of the veterans of the current Donegal panel, but as you look at the panel now, Danny, and having been involved in so many panels sort of down through the years, and how do you rate this young crop of Donegal hurlers that's coming through at the moment?
It's definitely up there, one of the best now, probably if not the best, like, because there's just a very good young batch there coming there last year, like the Conor Gartland and Rory Campbell, and Oisin Marley's back in there now, like, so that's three very talented young hurlers, and then, you know, you've got a few boys like Davin Flynn and Richie Ryan, and these boys, Beckenholders, really brought the kind of standard up for us. You know, they're very big additions to the county, like, and you've always then got the boys are there the whole time, myself and Sean, you know, have always been just kind of there every year. So, you know, at the moment, you've got a really good mix, like, and it's probably something that we're kind of very grateful for, like, and so we want to make the most of it now when we do have these kind of players in this crop. So we just have to hopefully kind of maintain that level we're at and maybe try to push forward a bit more, like.
Yeah. Just finally then, obviously the league campaign's there. You're targeting 2 to 3 wins to stay in the division. But obviously the championship is the one, Danny, that you all want to go well later in the year. That didn't happen last year, but can Donegal be contenders again in the Nicky Record competition in 2022?
Yeah, definitely. Look, that's the way we're looking for. That's what we're aiming for now. Look, there's still a few good teams not there, like Tyrone and Roscommon. You'll probably be one of the teams we'll be really keeping an eye on, like. But it's probably at the end of it, we just want to get to Croke Park and kind of push on, because we feel like we were unlucky 2 years when we won it that didn't promote us to the Christy Ring, and that's kind of where the place we want to be, like. And you know, we're in Nicky Record now long enough, so we kind of want to kind of up that level, because we've competed well in the league, but you know, we haven't really got the opportunity to do that in the championship. So that's probably a big goal of ours now this year.
Okay, well, there'll be a lot of hurling between now and the championship. Listen, Danny, the best of luck with your next assignment, Sligo on Sunday. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you, Josh.
Well, that game against Sligo is at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon at Marchevic Park in Sligo. Derry and Tyrone are also playing this coming weekend. It's also on Sunday. Derry in Division 2B are on the road as they go to Wicklow. And Tyrone play their first home game of the year in Division 3A as they welcome Warwickshire to Healy Park in Omagh. In soccer, the LAIT will be stepping up to the CUFL Premier Division next year, having reached this season's Division 1 League final. They will play Dundalk IT in the decider in a number of weeks' time, but they had to come from 2-0 down against TUS Midwest to force extra time and to win the tie 4-2 to take their place in the next game. That win also secured their place in the top flight of colleges football next season, something manager Shane Byrne has been trying to achieve with the college during his 9-year tenure as boss. Well, speaking to me this week, Shane says it has taken a huge effort by the group to get promotion, but there's still lots to play for in the coming weeks. Well, Shane, it's been a good week for the LAIT. I suppose many congratulations first up to you and the squad and everybody involved. Premier Division football was your main target this season, and you've done that with success this week by qualifying for the finals. Well done, Shane.
Thanks a million, Shane. We did a hard-fought game in Dublin in the AUL on Tuesday. We played TUS Midwest, Limerick, and Limerick side, and for the first time, I would say, this season, we didn't really start the game well. We played 5 games before this. We drew 1-1-4. And in all the games, you know, we started brightly. That game on Tuesday, first half, it was our worst 45 minutes so far this year. But, and I think the big but for us was the fact that at halftime, the boys, it showed, you know, a bit of steel in the squad. And whenever they rolled their sleeves up, came back, played really well and fought really hard in the second half to get us back to 2-2. We took them to extra time and beat them 4-2.
Yeah, if you are going to have a successful season, I suppose, Shane, your character and the character of the team is going to be tested at some stage along the way, and it probably came in what was the most important and turned out to be the biggest result as well of your tenure as manager of LAIT, Shane.
Yeah, definitely so, Shane. I mean, the character of the team, you know, we never questioned really the character of the team, because we've seen them in situations before, but not maybe in a semi-final the way we were playing. As poorly as we were, and it wasn't actually individuals as a team. I think in the first half, the only person that we could really say that was playing really well was Matthew Gallagher, and he pulled us out of a jam with 2 fantastic saves. But the character squad was tested, and in the second half and the next time, being honest, the best team won the game. But we were tested. The character of the team was tested, definitely.
Yeah, and I said as well in that piece that probably the biggest result of your tenure as manager. You've been trying a long time, so you have to get to the Premier Division, Shane.
We have, Shane, and we've been beaten in a couple of finals. We've Dundalk beat us in Clonus 1 year, where, you know, there was a few decisions that didn't go our way and things like that. And that particular game, but it's very, very hard to get out of that First Division to get into the Premier Division. With teams like this year, we had Queens, DCU, Jordanstown were in our group. And in the first division, the other group, you still have NUAG, Galway, you know, GMIT, Cork, TUS Midwest. There's a lot of really good teams in there. It's very hard to get out of the first division up to the Premier Division, but thank God we got there in the end.
Yeah. And I suppose this is one of the strongest teams that you've had, Shane, under your tenure as well, and that's no disrespect to some very, very quality teams that you had previously, but you spoke before about the confidence you had in the group, and they're really, really good footballers. Like, there's a spread of Derry City, Finn Harps Institute players all involved with you. I mean, you've got talent like Joel Bradley Walsh and Pat Lockery, who both scored the last day, in particular Lockery, who got that hat-trick. You were sort of quietly confident going along the way that this could be the year that you could go up.
Definitely. You know, Oshin, I had some great players that played with me in the past at the college. Individual players, I wouldn't single out any one of them. There's a few exceptional players that played with me, but as a panel, this would have been the strongest panel. But over Christmas, it was kind of severely tested, because we talked before Christmas, actually, about the strong panel, and it was tested for that game on Tuesday where we lost Liam Walsh with a broken bone in his foot. Adam McCaffrey had a horrendous injury before Christmas playing with Van Harps. Stephen Doherty didn't play the last day. He's out injured. And we should have Liam and hopefully Liam and Stephen back for the final. I don't think we'll have them back in time for the cup games next week, but hopefully for the final we should have them back. And again, against Dundalk, the last time we played, we were missing Michael Harris, but there's boys that came in the last day. Like, we played Joel up top as a centre forward because Liam was out. Sean McDermott came back in on centre half. Owen Brogan played on the right hand side instead of Adam. Charlie White played in the middle. And Conor Gormley actually came on as a sub and did really, really well the last day. And it's a chance for these boys that were, you know, on the periphery of the team to come on and make a statement and make my job harder when it comes to these bigger games at the end of the season, Oshin.
Yeah. When is the final going to be played against Dundalk? Because they came through the other semi-final, Shane. I'm sure you were keeping a close eye on it. And you know Dundalk nearly inside out at this stage, given the fact that you already beat them. In the competition, and they finished just behind you in the league standings before you went to the knockouts.
Well, they've been honest, actually, they were the best side in our section by ourselves. You know, that was the biggest game we had. We drew with Queens, but the day we played Queens, we hadn't a lot of personnel that day. That were Michael Harris was away in Waterford, but we were there that day. The Stute players like Joel and Owen Brogan, boys, they were all playing with Stute. There's a few Irish League games on, and they were in Waterford, and Michael was with them. So we're against Queens, we were short of it, but Dundalk were definitely the best side we'd have met in our section.
And listen, it's fantastic you're going to the Premier Division, but I'm sure you just want to go up as champions to have that tag head into the top flight, Shane.
Well, definitely so. Actually, like, another game on Tuesday, like, we're thinking among ourselves, and we're saying, right, the main objective is to win this game, get into the final, and we can relax for the final. But as soon as the game's over and, you know, you're in the final, you want to just go ahead and win the final. That's, you know, it's one game at a time kind of thing. And for us now, it's probably the game against Cork on Monday in Dublin in the Cup, and try and get through that. If we win or lose on Monday, we have another game on Thursday of next week. Should it be in the plate or the second round of the Cup, the quarter final of the Cup. So, it's one game at a time, and just hopefully that injury, we don't get too many players injured coming up to the final, especially. Yeah.
Will the group be more relaxed then going to the next series of matches, given that the main target has already been achieved? Sometimes when that happens, Shane, that you can get even more out of the group, that all of a sudden there's an added spring and an added dimension to them, given the fact that there's a more relaxed feel around the group now that you've achieved your main goal.
Well, I think even the players, you know, that was the thing, Oshin, coming into the game, as I've just said there, that the main objective for us this year was to get promotion. Now, we've achieved that. And I think, not that the players can, you know, they can relax a wee bit more going into the final. The intensity of what we'll be doing coming into that final and on the day of the final will be exactly the same. But, I mean, maybe it's not as much pressure in the players as there would have been.
Yeah.
If you're going to the final and you hadn't been promoted.
Yeah. Is a league and cup double too much of an ask, Shane?
You never say never. Never say never, actually. Yeah. We'd like to win as much as we could. You know, there's a lot of work goes on behind the scenes, the players, but I mean, I have backroom staff there as well, where David Walsh is in as his coaching and the squad, and Bosco Galler is the goalkeeping coach. Boys work very, very hard, and I've my old mate there, Tommy Arkins, with me for, I don't want to remember how many years Tommy's there, but we have a great backroom staff, and then between us, the great relationship between the players, and things are going really, really well at the moment, which is great to see.
Yeah, well, hopefully that continues on the current form, and things continue to go well for you, Shane. Thanks for joining us. Again, many congratulations. You're in Premier Division football, which is huge for the LYAT, and the best of luck as well in your next game in the Cup on Monday.
Thanks very much, Josh. Pleasure.
Elsewhere in soccer, northwest of Ulster, Intermediate Cup quarterfinals are taking place this weekend, with Ulster Senior League sides up against sides that play at intermediate level in the Northern Ireland League. Bunnigie United at the Dry Arch Park will be playing Derryside New Buildings United on Friday in the opening of the last eight ties. That one kicks off at 8 o'clock, with three further quarterfinals to come on Saturday afternoon. Van Harps under 21s are making the trip to Derry as well to play Maiden City. Monaghan United are welcoming Strabane Athletic, and Coghill Celtic are on the road. They face a trip to play Ardstraw FC. Another important match involving the Northwest side on Saturday is Letterkenny Rovers Youths. They play in the FEI Youth Cup last 16. They're going to make the long trip down to County Clare. Newmarket Celtic are the opposition for Letterkenny in this game, with a place in the quarterfinals up for grabs. 12 noon start for that one in Clare. In the Donegal Junior League, I suppose the standout games this weekend come in the form of the area finals of the Brian McCormick Cup. In the Donegal area, Capri Rovers are playing St Catharines. The Lifford final sees Kildrum Tigers up against Convoy Arsenal. KG Rovers are playing Kilmacrenan Celtic in the Gador final. And the Letterkenny area will see Letterkenny Rovers play host to Bunnigie United to see who will lift the trophy in that one. There's also quarterfinals in the Buncrana Credit Union Cup in Inishowen. Ellis Celtic will meet Mavill Celtic. Kildaff FC play Glengad United. Alia go to Glenelly Colts. And Greencastle FC will host Coghill Youths. There's, of course, other games in both the Donegal and the Junior League-wise this weekend. We go to golf. Donegal man Ryan Griffin is hoping to build on his recent success and hopes to win more tournaments on the R&A Student Tour Series. Last weekend, the Convoy man, who plays out of Ballybuffet in Stranorder and was representing his university, NUI Maynooth, was the joint winner of the tour event in Portugal. Griffin, along with fellow Maynooth player Jordan Bowles, shared the title after bad light forced play to stop during their playoff. Well, I caught up this week with Ryan, who says he is looking forward to building on his recent win. Ryan, good to talk to you.
And yourself, Oisin. How you doing?
We're doing not too bad, but I would say you're in fine form this week. What's the feeling now today, a couple of days out after winning a big event, an R&A event in Portugal?
Well, at the minute, I'm still quite exhausted more than anything, because there was a lot of travelling involved, going over and back, and it was a daunting enough experience, the way it all unfolded. But delighted, on cloud nine, actually.
Yeah. Well, tell me this, Ryan. Going into the tournament, did you feel that you could take victory in Portugal? Was there a confidence within you and within your game that you could fight at the top?
Oh, 100% there was, because the last two tournaments of the end of the year last year, in the Carton House event and the Irish Under Varsities in Port Salon, the two silver medals in those, and so it kind of showed us we could compete definitely in the college sector. And I knew the golf course over in Portugal, Praia, it's a very difficult golf course, and it was kind of who would hold their own early instead of just burning the whole place apart, and that would suit my game big time.
Yeah, well, you certainly held your own over the three rounds, and there was no better way to start than with a 72 on day one.
72, if you had asked me at the start of the week, would have taken that, would have put your hand off hard, because it kind of got away a wee bit in the middle of the round. We had a couple of bogeys, but we finished very nicely with a few birdies towards the end.
Yeah. You had a 77, if I'm right, and then you finished off round three with a 74 before the playoff. What was the pressure like on you in the closing holes of your third round, knowing that you had to score well to stay in contention, Ryan?
Yeah, so the third round, I was leading my shot at a slender enough lead going into the last round, and I was cruising enough after the front nine, and towards the back nine, I looked at the scoreboard, so I knew where I was standing, and it was similar enough back in Port Salon at the end of last year, where it was very, very tight, and I just had to keep telling myself to stay in it and keep going and stay positive about the whole thing, and it's never over until it's over, especially in golf.
Yeah. Well, it sort of was over a bit quickly then at the end of round three in the playoff, because it was fading light that brought a stop to the event. Darkness was coming in, but the English guy went out of contention early in the playoff. But yourself and one of your clubmates, one of your teammates rather, at NUI, Jordan Bowles, ended up sharing the title. So what was it like when the officials made the decision that, okay, we're going to have joint winners here?
Well, me and Jordan would be good mates anyway, and we were coming down the ninth and it was nearly black dark, like, and we finished off the ninth. We didn't really know what they were going to do, and as we walked off the ninth green, the tournament official, she came over to us, and we were both thinking the exact same thing, that we don't want to play 18-hole playoff the following day because we were absolutely exhausted from the three rounds we had. So she told us then we were just going to share the winning, and it's just going to be a joint winner. So I think we were delighted with that. It was a fair result of how everything unfolded.
Yeah. Well, listen, still brilliant to win the event. It's the biggest ticket in your young career that you've had so far, Ryan. Would that be fair enough?
That'd be right enough now, in fairness, Sachin. We had a couple of close calls now that the end of last year again, but no, all the experience kind of all adds up, and it all stands to you then in the long run.
Yeah, and golf's a popular sport in Maynooth. You're down there and a scholarship, and was five Maynooth players in the top 12 at the end of the day in Portugal. So it's a sport they take very seriously, and they want to do well in, Ryan.
Yeah, that's big, fair to say now, because the Barry Fenley, our golf coordinator, he runs a very good program down here and gets us the best situation and everything, and we have Carton House on our doorstep too, so the facilities are just top class here in Ireland for it, because we don't have the best weather, so it's nice down there.
I'll tell you
the condition that it's always in.
It's not a bad place to go practicing, the Carton House, every week, is it?
Oh, you can be in worse places, that's for sure.
And it's huge for the college as well, that you guys are succeeding now at the top. What's next on this students tour under the RNA? Where do you go from here? And at the end of when the tournament comes to a conclusion, if you're sitting in the top five, what's the benefit of it, Ryan?
Well, now in 4 weeks' time, we're actually heading over to Barcelona to play the fourth event. And I think I'm actually sitting second in the order of merit now. So another good finish in Spain will put us high up in contention, then going into Scotland, then following for the fifth event. And like I said, our top five and where, if you want it. I know if you want it, you get a place in the Arnold Palmer Cup team. And I know one of the lads that won it before, he got an invitation to a Challenge Tour event, which is a kind of step down from the European Tour, but it'll be a massive, massive achievement.
Yeah, it would be a massive achievement. There's a lot of prizes dangling on a carrot there for you guys to sort of pursue over the next number of months. But you might just maybe go back where golf all started for you. Obviously, your club is Balba Fenster and Order. So as you developed through the sport and grew into the sport and honed your skills in the sport, how big was Donegal Courses and helping you there, Ryan?
Well, the Donegal Courses, living in Balba Bay, it's kind of the middle of Donegal, so you have so many great links courses about an hour away from you. And up in the likes of Rosapenna, Merva, Ballyluffin, all them places, they're such a good test. And the Donegal weather it's never going to be ideal. So there's always going to be wind and rain coming in sideways at you. And if you can play good golf up in the likes of that, you'll be able to play good golf anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of good courses, obviously, round Donegal. What's your favourite type of course? Do you like the links stuff, do you, Ryan? Or which one do you favour?
It's where we kind of grew up playing golf and where we really started playing proper golf. And the links course would be ideal for my type of golf, anyway.
Yeah. And who do you look up to in the sport? Who was your idol growing up? Who was your hero in golf when you were...
Well, the standard will be Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. Like everybody's going to say them, because what Tiger done in the sport was unbelievable. And then McIlroy to come from Ireland, kind of wee small island, and to do what he done is just unbelievable as well, and great role models and way to go by then.
Yeah. Did you ever meet any of your heroes?
No, I seen them in the flesh a couple of times up in Port Rushen, like that, but never got speaking to them one on one just yet.
Yeah. Listen, it's a very exciting time in your young career, and winning in Portugal and now going to Spain and hopefully being involved in finals. But you mentioned the Challenge Tour there. Where would you like to see yourself in 10 years, Ryan? Where would you like to be golfing wise? Is something like playing on the European Tour a realistic target for you?
Well, we'll finish off college and we'll get through college for the degree. And at least then we'll know, especially the level we are at in the golf scene. And because it's a big leap to go into that professional ranks, and it's a big risk as well. But in 10 years, I'd love to see myself playing on the European Tour. And if you get into the European Tour, you're going to be doing very well if you kind of get a good couple of finishes and a good couple of starts in that. So in 10 years' time, I'd love to see myself there now, to be fair.
You have to aspire to your dreams, Ryan. You have to hold on.
You have to aim big, Oshin.
You have to aim big. Well, listen, glad to hear that you've got you're grounded anyway in relation to the education, that you're going to make sure that you get your degree first. What are you studying at the moment?
I'm doing marketing, and there's a wee bit of psychology in it as well, and a few modules. So at the psychology definitely helps in the golf game anyway, Oshin.
Well, that's for sure. So you'll be able to talk yourself into good positions, Ryan. Plus you'll be able to market yourself well when you go to the professional tour. So you have all angles covered there.
Of all angles covered, not of all it is.
Listen, good to talk to you, and good to see you as well, Ryan. And thanks for talking to us, and many congratulations on your one. And we do hope that this is the first of many more to come for you.
Thanks, Malian Oshin. Appreciate it.
Good stuff indeed. Young Ryan Griffin, hoping for more success on the golf front. Finally, we're going to go back to Gaelic Games. Kilcoo are out for a first ever AIB GAA Football All-Ireland Senior Club Championship title this weekend, as they took on two-time winners Kilmacrud Crokes of Dublin in the final. The Down side reached the decider in 2020, only to be beaten after extra time by Cora Finn of Galway on their way to winning three in a row. Ahead of this weekend's game, Paul Devlin has been speaking to Oisin Langan about the club's journey since losing that match, the Kilcoo management team of Mickey Moore and Conleth Gilligan, and the build-up around the community.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined by Kilcoo footballer Paul Devlin ahead of one of hashtag the toughest showdowns of the year, which sees Kilcoo facing off against Kilmacud Crokes of Dublin in the AIB GAA Football All-Ireland Senior Club Championship Final this Saturday at 5 p.m. in Croke Park. The game will be broadcast live on TG Cahir. Well, tickets are also available now on gaa.ie/tickets. This year's AIB Club Championship celebrate hashtag the toughest players in Gaelic games, those who, despite adversity, don't quit, who persevere no matter how tough it gets, because tough can't quit. Paul Devlin, how are you?
Not too bad. Are you wishing yourself?
I can't complain, but unlike you, I don't have an All-Ireland final to look forward to. What's the feeling like among the squad and around the club?
Oh, it's the club itself is obviously buzzing with the occasion coming up, but us as players, we can't dwell too much on that. We have to focus on what we can do on the pitch at the end of the day, because it's going to be a titanic battle that comes Saturday, and we just have to focus on our own performance.
You have been there before. The last time, in fact, the final was held, you were there, and then we all know what interrupted things, and we all know why we didn't have a competition last year. We didn't have a provincial championship. How beneficial is it to have been there before, to experience the build-up, to know what it's like to go to Croke Park on the day of the final?
I do think it's very important. Obviously, there's certain things that happen on All-Ireland final days that don't really happen to other or many other finals. So we've learned from that, and we've gained a wee bit of experience from All-Ireland final day. So hopefully that will stand status coming into this weekend.
From what you can remember from a couple of years back, is there any big difference between the build-up to a final and the build-up to an ordinary game?
It's probably just the build-up because it's an All-Ireland final, and it's in Croke Park. So like, that's probably the big incentive that caught me the last time. But this time around, I've just firmly just kept my feet on the ground like as many other players have as well. But at the end of the day, it's a game of football, and it's two teams really going at it to try and get over the line. So we just have to put that into context, and everybody understands that, and everybody's focusing on the team and how well we can perform on the day.
And that sounds like you've thought about the build-up and how to maybe handle that a bit better this time around. What about the game itself? What have you learned from that match against Corrifane, which you came very close to winning? But I'm sure you've looked back or thought back at the very least, whether that's individually or as a team, and thought, well, these are the things that we need to maybe do a bit better this time.
Oh, definitely. Listen, we learned a lot out of that game that we took into last year's club championship, because there was no provincial or All-Ireland series. So we took it on board last year and we kind of learned from it and see what areas we need to improve on and areas that were weaknesses in beforehand. So it's definitely stood straight to us, because obviously majority of the team is still the core players that are still there at the moment, with a lot of new young ones coming through. So it's a good blend of youth and experience. And listen, there's a lot of experienced boys that give a wee bit of advice to the younger boys in what way to handle these big occasions and go about their business and building up to it.
And talk to me about the management team, Richie, Mickey Moran and Conley Gilligan. They seem to have found the key to unlock something special out of this Kilcoo squad. What is that?
I think they've just installed that belief in ourselves. They fully believe that we can be as good as anybody and perform the level that we need to perform at if we put the hard work and hard yards in. And it's, we've been on a journey this past number of years now, and they've seemed to get the absolute best out of us, and it pushes on, and we've taken in completely everything that they've given us in terms of advice, in terms of what they ask of us. Like, if there's no complaints, whatever they apply, we do as best that we can. And listen, it's been going well so far.
And I imagine it's really satisfying when you find a way to win in tight situations, like the game against St. Finbar's, the game against Glen. I'm sure there's been other, like, I've obviously seen your games in the Provincial and All-Ireland series, didn't get to see all of your games in Down, but I'm sure there was games there as well. It must be satisfying when it comes off in a game like that.
Okay, listen, whenever you win a game by 1 or 2 points or an extra time, it's very satisfying, because they're titanic battles, and you're only going to get better coming out of them games. You learn a lot about yourself and a lot about the team, and maybe you learn more about where we need to improve on for the next game as such. So definitely the Finbar's game was a big learning curve for the team, and maybe kept our feet firmly on the ground. And what better preparation would you want to come into this weekend?
Yeah. What about your own preparation? What will you do? I know one of your teammates escaped from his house and went back to his mother for some home-cooked food ahead of, I think, the Ulster final. He told Thomas Niblock all about it. What will you do?
Oh, I'll just probably do my own routine, just look after my body and making sure I'm well hydrated and that, and maybe just head down and practice some set pieces and such like I do before every game. I just hope it doesn't come to the type of thing that a free kick to win a game or something like that again. I'd rather just maybe win by 2 or 3 points or something like that. But listen, it's my job, so I have to make sure that I'm ready for it.
You've had a number of those moments in your life, taking those clutch kicks, as they've called them in the NFL. I remember, and again, going back to 2020, you nailing one to bring it into extra time. Do you enjoy those moments, or how do you feel in that moment in time?
Okay, I do thrive in them moments, because I do it so often down the pitch and in training, and whenever I get time to improve on it, that's with nobody around me. So like, you do it out in your backyard or down the pitch, you do it to hopefully get a chance in these big moments for big crowds and people watching and stuff like that there. So I look forward to them kind of challenges that I prepare myself for.
What are you expecting from this game? What are you expecting Kilmacud Crokes to bring? What kind of opposition do you think they'll be?
I think they're going to be a possession-based team, a bit like ourselves, controlling the ball a lot, waiting for openings and maybe trying to target certain areas, maybe push up in the kickouts that they have been pressing the Leinster campaign. I've seen a few of them. So this is going to be a titanic battle, and they have a lot of experience there. Like, I know that there are a few players that have won all Ireland's with their county, and obviously there's a few players that are still there about that won the last time for Kilmacud won it. So they have a wealth of experience there that I'm sure they've definitely shared with the younger boys in the panel. But listen, we've had our own experience at Crow Park too, so Saturday's looks to be an interesting contest.
Have you allowed yourself to dream what it would be like to get your hands on the Andy Merrigan Cup?
Not really, no. I'm just focused on the performance and work playing as a team and working as hard as we can. And if we can control the controllables, then we won't be too far away.
And are you allowing yourself to kind of get wrapped up in the excitement around Kilcoo? It's not a big area, but I imagine when it comes to something like this, there's black and white flags all over the place. The school is you know, like, it's like another Christmas, and everyone's just really buzzing for it and really, really excited.
Okay, yeah, look, around the community, it's very exciting, and they're enjoying it, which is good to see, and the buzz about the place. And I'm happy for all the ones, like, obviously with COVID and all taking away football this past couple of years. It's good that we can provide some bit of excitement and enjoyment to the community. So it's exciting for them. It wouldn't be as exciting for us now, maybe until after the game's over and where we are. But listen, we're on a journey, and that we're thankful for where we are at the minute, and we just have to make the most out of it.
Big weekend ahead for Kilcoo. That's their player Paul Devlin looking ahead to that All-Ireland final. And that brings an end to another edition of The Score. Remember, if you missed any of tonight's show, you can recap in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Our next sport here in Highland is the Bulletin after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning with Chris Ashmore. So until then, what's left of your Thursday, have a good one.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.